Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We want to give a special shout-out to all of our friends who are viewing on CTN, Christian Television Network, all across the Gulf Coast. And, of course, all of those who are listening on VFN Radio around the nation and the world. Here to encourage you in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And Steve Kalischewski.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Good day, sir. I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
Are you doing good?
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Wonderful. Very exciting and chipper today. We have so much to discuss, and we are going to jump right into it. Don't forget that we are two programs back-to-back, and you can always go to VFNTV.com to find out more, and there's plenty there. But we want to be discussing in today's program the rise of ISIS. It's a new book that was actually put together by Jay Sekulow, and he is with
ACLUJ.
ACLJ. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
American Center for Law and Justice.
Yes. And he wrote this book before anyone knew who ISIS was. They were gathering this information. And riveting interview. You're going to hear him discuss more about it. But, you know, these guys are the real deal. And apparently they're not being addressed like they are the real deal. It's like, you need to deal with this because this is going to spill over and it's going to be a major, major problem. So we're going to talk more about that. We're also going to be talking about a prophetic experience that Rick Joyner just had. Their ministry takes the seventh month, July, for a sabbatical, and he was in heaven for 8 hours, and he's going to begin to share with us some of the experiences and some of the things the Lord showed him are upon us, and some of the things that we need to do to just walk victoriously through this time. It's going to be very exciting. You don't want to miss it, as he just talks about okay, heaven and his encounter and you know, thrown him a couple times. It's very, very, very cool. But I want to jump right into the rise of ISIS, and you know, you've been hearing a lot of information on the news right now regarding ISIS, ISIL, IS. I mean. And the truth of the matter is that what we found out and what they've been reporting is that at first it was about 12,000 of these guys. Now there's about 31,000, according to the CIA in their reports. And they're recruiting fighters from all over the world. We have an interactive map that we are going to make available for you, probably related to this segment. You can find it more on the Torch, but you can click on this map and you will see where countries around the world have an excess of 900 plus of their citizens who have joined ISIS. And it's everywhere. I mean, the United States alone has about 300. Canada has about 100. And you're looking at what's happening in Europe, 400 to 500 plus from England. And is it interesting that right now, as the Prime Minister Cameron has stepped up and said, hey, we want to do something about ISIS, we want to step forward, right at this time, what's crescendoing is that Scotland is looking to actually take a historic vote this week to separate a 300-year union. They're looking to leave the United Kingdom. Serious thing that could have all kind of financial ramifications, just to say the least. And they're encouraging the countries like split 50-50. It could go either way. And really interesting. With all these different things that are happening, at the same time, we have the President of the United States who addresses the nation, and he says that he wants to implement a strategy of destroy and degrade, but we're not at war. Then you find out we are at war. Then we want to do airstrikes, but we're not going to put any boots on the ground. But actually, we are going to put some boots on the ground. We're going to put about 500 boots on the ground to tell the other guys what to do.
All right.
But we're not. Doesn't sound like much of a strategy. Then you have John Kerry, the Secretary of State, trying to defend Islam as a peaceful religion, and it's like, are these really the leaders? Is this really what's going on? When you understand, and we're going to make this available for you because we only have a certain amount of time, you know, to cover all of this. We have a related article booklet for you. It's called Islam religion of peace or war. You can, you know, and I'll have everything in there. But jihad means holy war. We want you to listen to this interview as Jay Sekulow just lays it out and says, this is what we're dealing with. This is the real threat. Watch this.
Shocking. It's barbaric. It is primitive. It's ghastly. They've already beheaded three hostages, including two Americans. And the Muslim monsters of ISIS are threatening to murder more. But what are their long-term goals? Jay Sekulow, interestingly enough, has written a new book telling us the chilling details. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a threat we can't ignore. And Jay's with us right now. Jay.
Hey, Pat. Good to see you again.
Bless you. Hey, how come you started studying this ISIS thing? Where'd you come
on to it? Well, you know, we have the office in Jerusalem, and we do a lot of work in the Middle East. And I started looking at what the next wave of terror really was going to be. And we were at Oxford this summer and had this program dealing with terror groups. And the ISIS thing was just starting to get in the news. So we'd done a series of papers, me, Skip Ash, a number of us from our offices here.
Yeah.
And we presented these papers. And all by the end of the program, the entire topic discussion was on the extent and significance of what was then called, they were calling themselves the Islamic State now. It was then called ISIS and ISIL, you'll hear. But we realized that this was a group that had the lethality that al-Qaeda has never had, the troops that al-Qaeda had never had, the landmass that al-Qaeda never had, and the money. That al-Qaeda had money, but not like this. They are operating. You know, the president wants to ignore the fact that he says, well, it's not a nation state. Well, in reality, they're operating like one. And the growth of it is so significant in such a relatively short time. It was AQI, it was al-Qaeda in Iraq, was ISIS. And they were so brutal, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that Osama bin Laden kicked him out. That's how bad this group is. And they are on the march, and we are in their sights. The United States is not immune from this. They have got agents everywhere. And as we've looked at it, we think that this is a threat that if we ignore, we're ignoring it at our own peril.
What are their goals? What do they want to do?
It's the establishment. I mean, he's done it, in a sense. And that is the establishment of the caliphate. So Abu Bakr becomes Caliph Ibrahim. He changes the name initially from the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq to the Islamic State in Syria and the Levant. That's the greater Middle East. Now it's just the Islamic State. So it is the establishment of the caliph, the caliphate, and basically the application of Sharia under the banner. They said they're going to raise the flag of ISIS over the White House. They mean that. I mean, this is not something we can ignore. They mean it. And the reality is it is such a significant danger to the United States. I think it impacts everything else that's going on in the Middle East and the rest of the world. And we're looking, you know, when you had the Hamas conflict with Gaza and Gaza with Israel this last time, people were ignoring ISIS. And they were focusing on this. The lethality that ISIS has, Pat, I don't think we can even imagine right now.
Why has the president been so cautious? He said we want to degrade them and all this kind of stuff. You got to kill them, don't you?
Because he thinks it's a manageable threat. And when we wrote Rise of ISIS, to deal with exactly that point, because the reality is two things the president said which are telling. Number one, it's not Islamic. Tell that to Caliph Ibrahim that it's not Islamic, because he sure thinks it's Islamic. Okay, that's number one. And so do the 31,000 fighters, number one. Number two, you can't manage this. You can't negotiate with this. When we were at Oxford this summer, one of the heads of the program that we're involved in, who's a pretty much an appeasement guy, let's get along and, you know, kind of work things out, he said, crush them. Now, this is an Oxford professor, expert on the Middle East, who said they have to be crushed. So when you've got the left acknowledging that. So the president's hesitancy to engage this is mind-boggling, but it's, again, I think he's protecting his view of the Middle East.
Those guys are running around in pickup trucks with machine guns on them. We could have stopped it pretty quickly if we moved in with force, couldn't we?
Yes, or if we kept a status of force agreement in Iraq in the first place, and none of this would have happened. This was so preventable. But, you know, Pat, the president has a narrative. You've talked about this so eloquently on the broadcast. The president has a narrative for the Middle East, and none of this is playing into his narrative. He has backed every wrong side of every leader in the Middle East, including the Muslim Brotherhood, who Egypt is now outlawed.
That's right.
So he's backing them. That's why when he says we're going to work with the Syrian rebels, who are these rebels? I'll tell you who they are. The rebels are the ones that sold Steve Saltloff to ISIS for $25,000 or $50,000, and he ended up getting beheaded. So I think I don't even want to say a naive policy. The president has a narrative out there, but when you start saying it's not Islamic, you're ignoring the reality of it. It's certainly their view of Islam.
What are we going to do? What can anybody do? I mean, you've got this guy in the White House who controls foreign policy, and he's just a total screw-up. Well, what is it?
Well, I think when we heard David Cameron make that unbelievable speech that we're going to end this, we're going to stop this, yeah. And then the president comes out and said, we don't have a strategy to deal with this, you know what I said? I said, you know, if you don't have a strategy, you're scaring everybody.
And
certainly not the terrorists, but you're scaring the rest of the free world. If you don't have a strategy, find one. Don't go up to the presidential podium and say, we don't have a strategy yet. We're not putting the cart before the horse. ISIS is not new. They've been around for a couple of years. They're just now stronger than ever, and lack of leadership has allowed it.
He made a speech to the American public, but he didn't really address what he was going to do for sure.
Except he's not going to send ground troops, and he's going to do the containment, and we're going to eventually eliminate this cancer. And then he initially said, as you said, manage this.
Mm-hmm.
This is not ISIS is not a manageable group. ISIS is a terrorist group that has unbelievable resources. Where do they get millions and millions of dollars a day?
Yeah.
And the rest of the free world cannot just sit and say, well, let's see what happens in 3 to 6 months, because there are 30,000, could be 50. There are not 30,000 Al-Qaeda members out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are 31,000 soldiers fighting for ISIS. But you're right. Could we annihilate them? In a minute.
Yeah.
But we have to do it. You've got to take decisive action. Leadership says, make a decision. But he's got to change his narrative for the Middle East. And I don't think the president wants to do it. We point that out in the book.
Well, I mean, American people, you feel paralyzed. What are we going to do?
I think three things have to happen. Number one, we've got to decimate them.
Yes.
They have to be crushed. They have to be stopped. So we have to do everything we can, which means don't get the UN in there meddling in the middle of this. Let's not get sidetracked on issues that don't matter. This issue matters. Crush them. So it's got to be singular focus, which this president has not been very good at.
He doesn't like victory at war.
He doesn't like war. Number two, the narrative, he's got to change his narrative. His narrative didn't work. Change it. And that narrative is, this is a threat to eliminate. We know we have the military power to do it.
Of course.
We have to use it. And the president doesn't want to be a war president, but that's the leadership role. The mantle is passed to him. Act like a president. Act like a commander-in-chief.
If he's got the Levant, he's going to try to take over Jordan,
right.
Israel, of course, Iraq, Egypt. He'll want the whole thing.
Right.
He wants to
march right into Saudi Arabia, too. And they're playing both sides against side of this. So, and that has to stop also. That's another one of the things that we can do. Our allies in the region, Qatar,
mm-hmm.
really, if they're an ally, stop funding ISIS.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, stop funding these groups. They can do it. It's going to take American leadership. We don't have that right now, but we're going to have to insist on it.
Well, this will shock you, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe it won't shock you, but at least it'll give you something to talk about. It's The Rise of ISIS, and this is available on CBN.com. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold.
Barnes & Noble and Apple iBooks.
I hope it does well. God bless you.
Thank you, Pat.
That's Pat Robertson interviewing Jay Sekulow in his new book, The Rise of ISIS. And this is important. This is not going away. Mm-hmm. You know, right before we went to this interview, I was talking about how they were trying to put this coalition together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there is no coalition. There is no partners. Even Iran, I mean, we're negotiating with Iran to be a partner.
Right.
The Ayatollah tweets, okay? He says, no, I will not be your partner. And there even talks about even considering if Putin could actually help us. This is the United States of America. We can do this. We want to encourage you. Listen, it's not a time to be fearful. It's a time for us to be informed. It's a time for us to be educated on what's really happening, and most of all, why, so that we can pray. God, you know, the Bible tells us that God holds the heart of the king. He can direct it any which way he'd like. He holds it like, move it like a water course. We can pray for our president and believe that they're going to be the right advisors are going to get to him so that we can come against this threat of evil, so that it doesn't continue to terrorize the Middle East, and it will stop before it enters Israel. More we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
Can a student be punished for not participating in a school event because of a religious commitment? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a 17-year-old girl in my church, and we preach and teach that the Bible, you know, clearly states to be faithful to church and everything. This girl has taken this to be a conviction of her faith. Well, she goes to a public school and is in a band class, but because she is missing one band concert to go to a church service, the teacher is telling her that she's going to fail the class for the year.
Hey, there is no way that could happen. I mean, they could try to do that, but that cannot be the way it's supposed to be. And in a situation like this, they're supposed to give her an exemption. If a concert was scheduled, say, on Yom Kippur, would they say they're going to give the student an F because they're not coming to a concert on Yom Kippur? Of course not. Same thing here on church attendance. That's just wrong.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org.
May I ask you why you sent for me? I saw you. At what point do most people just, this can't be God because I don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on. Why would we come together? Why would this happen? You know, I know he told me what to do, but I'm not going to do it because I don't fully understand the ramifications of it yet. I need to know the end. From the beginning, I got to know everything before I do it. Welcome to not following God. It's faith. You follow God by faith. Be sure of what you hope for, and certain of what you don't see. Peter is in the middle of illegal activity because the voice of God spoke, and he still don't know why he's there yet, and he's willing to say, why have you called me? What do you want? That's huge. Imagine if we just start following God. You might say to the cash register lady there, God loves you. You know? You might go to somebody you said that there's no hope for, that they're impure and unclean, and let them know that God can forgive them. You never know what might happen when you follow God.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to listen to Rick Joyner as he shares on a prophetic perspective regarding we're all going to heaven. We're all going to heaven. In this segment, he shares extensively about several things that are happening and several things that we are going to be facing. One of the things that he does, if you've watched our program here previously, we've talked about Jonathan Kahn and the Shemitah and the collapse that, mm-hmm. that looks like it's coming. Prophetically, God spoken and has shared it with us, with several others, but even Jonathan Kahn is hearing that as early as next year. Well, you're going to hear Rick Joyner almost in detail, almost talk about the same thing from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Obviously, God's, you know, sharing it. But he's going to talk about that and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But he also shares that it's going to be some of the most awesome times for the church as well. And this is so packed. We're going to come back after he is through, and we're going to continue to talk more about it in detail. But enjoy as he begins to share some of the things the Lord showed him from a prophetic experience where he was in heaven for 8 hours. Watch this.
Fort Mill, South Carolina. This is Prophetic Perspectives on Current Events with Rick Joyner.
Welcome to Prophetic Perspectives on Current Events. And we got so many current events to talk about and world events. But I want to talk to you about something that's even more important than everything that's going on, more important than the Ebola outbreak, more important than what's going on in Ukraine, ISIS, anything else. And that is, we're going to heaven. all of us. If you are a true seeker of God, you're going to heaven really soon. I'm not talking about dying to go to heaven. I'm talking about we're going to start experiencing heaven like never before. Now, I had a prophetic dream this week. I spent 8 hours in heaven. It was, you know, I've had a number of experiences like this. I've had encounters where I got drawn up, and, you know, when I was awake, all of a sudden I'm in the heavenly realm. I'm in heaven. I've been in the throne room a number of times. I've been in different dreams. I've had experiences like this, but never anything like I experienced this past week. It was on a whole new level, and the Lord gave me the key. He gave me the key to eternal joy. He showed me that every one of his people have this key. We can use it every day. I'm going to be talking a lot about that because we have to use it now. We have no choice. We also have to go to heaven. We've got to start entering more and more into the kingdom every day. It's no longer an option. Now, the world is going to break down into increasing chaos. It's not going to totally fall apart tomorrow or even this year. Next year, there's going to be something happen that you're going to think, this is it. The world can't survive this. This is the end of the world. I mean, there are things coming down on that level, and I'm going to tell you about them. But at the same time, God's people are going to be experiencing increasing peace and increasing joy and increasing success towards accomplishing what they were here to accomplish. And in everything, their lives are going to be getting better and better and better every day. And this is something we have to look at every day. Get our daily bread. This is not something we can put off and say, I'm going to get closer to God next week or next month or next year. Today is the day of salvation. It's got to be a daily thing. And you're going to experience very soon, I believe there's a clarion call going out. There's where I think it's going to be clear that you've got to turn. You've got to seek the kingdom with all of your heart now. You've got to do all things for the sake of his kingdom, for the sake of his gospel. That those who are going on into him, they're going to turn, and they are going to do these things now. And those who do not are going to go on into the chaos that the rest of the world is going into. Their lives, everything else is going to go that way. We've got to make the choice, and we've got to go. But it's easy, and it's the best thing we've ever done. The most fun and the most joy and the most peace we will have ever had. So this is the time. This really is the time. Now, I don't know. I'm not setting a date. By this date, you better be doing this and that. But I feel like over this coming season, this fall season or harvest season, that kind of demarcation is being made among God's people all over the world. There's a call going out. We've got to seek first the kingdom now. We cannot delay any longer and mess around with the things of this world that have so distracted us. That doesn't mean you've got to shut down your business, whatever. It could be a kingdom business. Hopefully it is. But if it's not, you'd be much better to shut it down right now and turn and pursue the Lord than to waste any time on what was not established on the kingdom. Because it's going to shake and go away. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But the good news is we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And you're going to start seeing a dramatic difference in the lives of those who have built their lives on the kingdom and those who have not. Those who have built their lives on the kingdom, I don't care how much the world shakes, they're going to be solid as a rock. And you know what? They're going to be happy. They're going to be full of the joy of the Lord. Not joy at what's happening to other people. Joy in the Lord. And You know, Enoch is an example of that. And I shared in that my book, The Path, the encounter I had with Enoch. And, you know, I don't know if it was really him or a prophetic experience. I never know in these things, but it seemed real. I'd had a number of encounters with Elijah. Now, that's becoming common, you know, with different people. Because the spirit of Elijah is coming upon the earth today to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, children of the fathers. He's preparing the way for the Lord again. The spirit of Elijah is coming to prepare the way for the Lord. But I was shown I was told by Elijah that he and Enoch had been kept alive so that they would not taste death, so that they could have a part in the purpose of this last day ministry, the ministry at the end of the age. And, you know, I was, you know, I have no problem believing that. You know, Bruce Wilkinson, I was talked to Bruce about this a number of times. You probably know Bruce by his book, The Jabez Prayer, that one of the bestsellers of all time. And Bruce is just an extraordinary man of God I've known and loved for many years, and really deeply appreciate his pursuit of God. He really lives that Jabez prayer. I mean, Bruce doesn't know how to think small, but he's always looking to extend his borders and seeking God's blessing. But anyway, I was sharing this. He was fascinated by it, and we talked a couple of times about it, and he brought up something I had not even thought about. He said, do you ever think that Elijah and Enoch are the two witnesses in Revelation? And I really hadn't. In the past times, I thought Elijah may be one of those witnesses. I thought maybe Elijah and Moses. I had, you know, teachings on a lot of that, but it was, to me, I was not holding any of it really strongly. I just didn't know. And, but he said, you know, they're the only ones who have never died. And it says, the word says, it is appointed for every man to die once. So that made sense to me. I'm really pondering that and considering it. They really could be the two witnesses. And that's why I know Elijah has been appearing to many, and many are having these encounters with him, but it's not necromancy because he never died. He's still very much alive. But in this encounter that he told me I was supposed to meet Enoch, because Enoch had an important message, and I think two of them together have maybe the biggest part of the message of the end times, but he said, you've got to meet Enoch. You've got to learn the message of Enoch. And so I was really looking forward to it. And then when I did, I didn't know what to expect, Enoch. I didn't know, you know.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. When we get back, you're going to hear Rick talk about the message of Enoch, and it is good. Join us when you're right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. So go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us. Mm-hmm. He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you, mm-hmm. but he's keeping them back. And then You know, if that we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
We have a great way for your VFN radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. We're going to join Rick Joyner as he continues to share his prophetic experience, 8 hours in heaven. Watch this.
And I think two of them together have maybe the biggest part of the message of the end times. But he said, you've got to meet Enoch. You've got to learn the message of Enoch. And so I was really looking forward to it. And then when I did, I didn't know what to expect, Enoch. I didn't know, you know, I just didn't know. And I was stunned by here. He was the happiest man I've ever met. It was shocking he was so happy. And it wasn't giddy. It wasn't uncontrollable laughter or anything like that. He was profoundly full of joy. It was so contagious. I felt like maybe stayed with him forever. Oh, it was so wonderful just to be in his presence. He told me many important things in my life. It was great, all that he gave to me. But just being with him was the best part of all, just that encounter. And then right after that, I run into Elijah again. I mean, immediately after I turn around, there's Elijah. He said, what'd you think? And my first response was, why aren't you as happy as he was? And you've been in heaven all this time. How can you not be as happy as Enoch? And that's when Elijah said to me one of the most challenging things I've had in the last few years, when he said, I should have been. I should be. He said, you don't understand, but you set in this life, your life on the earth, who you're going to be forever. Your capacities for joy. Your capacity for love. Now, in heaven, all tears are going to be wiped away. All the bad's going to be gone. But our capacities are being set here. He said, you know, Enoch lived during the darkest of times, even darker times than Elijah lived in. He said, but he didn't focus on the darkness. He just kept getting closer and closer and closer to God. He kept getting caught up in God. He said, I should have done the same thing. He said, I got so focused on the darkness, so depressed by the evil. The Lord had to even take him and give the rest of his job to Elisha to finish. And he said, you've got to learn that lesson of Enoch. And I researched, I don't know why I'd never thought about it before, but Enoch really did live in the darkest, most evil times ever upon the earth. And until these times we're now entering. He wasn't overcome by the darkness. He was overcome with God. He's consumed with God. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. We're going to need that joy for the strength to make it through what is coming. But the good thing is, not so much that we have to do it, but we get to do this. We get to do this. We get to do what Enoch did. And you're going to see him becoming an example of those who are truly walking with the Lord and entering the kingdom in the days to come. You're going to know them by their joy. You're going to know them, you know, by their love, by their joy, they're going to be radically different. God's people are going to be radically different. So I was shown this in this dream last week. The key to eternal joy. How easy it is to use that key. How we all have it. Now we've got to do it together. Now's the time. We cannot waste any longer. We cannot put off any longer. If we don't use it now, and if we're not advancing further and further into the kingdom every day, we're going to be falling into increasing chaos, darkness, anxiety, fear, everything else. There's a demarcation, I believe, begins this fall, that you're going one way or the other. We're going to see the Lord sending messengers and starting to remove all stumbling blocks, all of those who are promoting and marketing fear among his people. You're going to see them being removed. All of those who are causing divisions, the fault finders, all these, you're going to see the Lord removing them. And one way I hope he removes them is by them repenting and not being those things anymore. But if they want to continue down those tracks, you'll see them being removed. So I don't know that it will all be done this fall, but it will begin this fall. You're going to see the beginning of these things. So I'm going to be sharing a whole lot over the coming weeks and months. The details of this dream, to me, it was far more important than any of the things going on in this world today. I know it's big, I know it's intense, and we do have to talk about some of those things sometimes, but we'll see them more clearly if we're seeing them from heaven's perspective. And we're just climbing further and further into the heavenly realm. And that was, you know, the very first mention of the house of God. That's what we're supposed to be. There's a theological principle of law of first mention. Usually, not always, but when something is first mentioned in Scripture, it is a revelation of its foundational purpose or, you know, main purpose, maybe its whole purpose, but it's foundational. And, you know, the very first place that it's mentioned in Scripture that God even had a house, we're told, I think, given the most basic revelation of what the house of God is supposed to be. And, of course, that's where Jacob had his dream. He dreamed, laid down sleep and dreamed of these ladders that reached all the way into heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending upon them. And he wakes up in the morning, he says, oh, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And that's what the house of God is supposed to be. Basically and fundamentally, we are supposed to be the place of access to heaven. I think every one of God's people are supposed to be able to enter into the heavenly realm and then to return with evidence of heaven's reality and its authority over anything on the earth. You know, in heaven, there's no Ebola. It can't get in. And there is authority that can be received. I believe there's some that are called to receive it. Maybe many. Total authority over Ebola. Somebody with Ebola, they come into the room, the Ebola is gone. That person is healed. It cannot live, it cannot exist in their presence. Now, ultimately, I believe the whole body of Christ at the end is going to be walking in that kind of authority over disease. I saw children praying over whole regions and the radiation being removed from those regions. Just by their prayer, by their authority. So, you know, this is a small thing for the Lord. Our basic calling is to be like Christ and to do the works that he did. And now's the time. Now is the time. So there's a lot going on. You know, we have this upcoming Harvest Conference, October 16th through 18th. It's not a conference, it's a summit. The Lord said we were no longer to call them conferences, but gathering something else. But this one, he said specifically, what we've, you know, for years called our Harvest Fest, for festival, and it is a celebration. We will be doing a lot of that during this time, but he said it's got to be a summit. We need to gather those who are the most serious harvesters, who are either in the harvest or are going to be. And I think there's something that we're going to see from the authority that God has given to us and of crossing over the Jordan River. Now, you know, when Joshua and Israel crossed over the Jordan River, it says the Jordan River was overflowing all of its banks all of the days of the harvest. Jordan River represents death. That's why Jesus and John baptized there, and it empties into the Dead Sea, but it represents death in Scripture. They had to cross over death to get to their promised land. You remember Joshua sent the ark, it says, about 2,000 cubits before the people. I believe that was about 2,000 years that Jesus, the ark, went before us and crossed over death. Now, when the ark, the priest's feet touched the waters of the Jordan River, it says those waters were rolled back. Go read this all in the first few chapters of Joshua. But it says the waters of the Jordan were rolled back all the way to Adam. I don't believe it's any accident. Whatever town or village was named Adam in those days was named Adam. We're going to see death rolled back all the way to Adam, all the way to the fall. And it's time to cross over and take our land. I tell you, there's a company ready. There's a people ready to get up now and cross over. It's ready for mobilization. If you look at the body of Christ in general right now, we're in a pretty sad state. I think personally, my personal opinion, and this is not a revelation, it's my personal opinion, I don't think the church in America may have ever been as weak as it is right now. As confused, befuddled, lacking leadership, lacking direction, vision. Now, there are exceptions to that. There are awesome churches, awesome ministries in America right now. And but in general, it's the worst shape I think it may have ever been in. I think it's true in many other nations as well, maybe worldwide. And I share with you how what the Lord showed me about the last wave of harvest coming, how it was going to come like a tsunami. But when a tsunami comes, before the wave comes, all the waters start receding and going out. And it looks like, many ways, Christianity is in wholesale retreat right now. Christians are in wholesale retreat. Never had more sin in the camp. Never had more lukewarmness and apathy in the camp. Guess what? That should be encouraging us. There's a tsunami coming. There's a massive wave building up out there. And the waters may recede a long ways, but it's coming back. It's coming back. And as the Lord told me when he showed me that, he said, don't follow the receding water. You get to the high ground as fast as you can. And he defined that as being seated with him in the heavenly places. I believe the dream that he gave me so many practical ways that we can day by day go deeper into him, deeper into his kingdom. And this is what I'm processing. This is what I want to be presenting to you over the next few weeks and months. We've got to do it now, but we also get to do it. Thank you so much.
Join us when you're right back from this break. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Pat.
Hello.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I've noticed that Steve, which was... And Steve.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Hello, hello, sir. Hello. Steve is looking nice and crisp as well, too. I like the tie. I like that going on there. And he has gel.
He has gel today.
I'm trying to match the laundered look.
Fresh iron. There you go. But the gel works well. And, of course, Chris is smiling. Oh, my goodness. We have a program. So you see, they're not working with me today. They're just like, you know, I'm like, okay, all right. Okay.
Are these really the jokes?
Okay.
Or is there more coming?
So, Pat, what are you talking about today? Share with us what the Lord, come on, talk to us. We have such an exciting...
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. My goodness.
Wow, that's intense.
Wow. Wow, we only have a few minutes to really get into this. But, you know, Rick and everything that he shared really highlighted, you know, three topics or three points, if you will, in this encounter and this experience. And one of the things I thought was unique and pretty amazing and good, is that he says, hey, we are all going to heaven, and talking about those heavenly encounters and being in that realm, if you will. You know, Paul had third heaven revelation, and it's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that we need to experience God in that place.
Those who are believing in Jesus.
Right.
Right.
And one of the things that he shares that I thought was really interesting in regarding to especially what we heard from Jonathan Kahn regarding the Shemitah was that he believes that this fall, right now, this season that we're in, it is the demarcation where you're going to start seeing a shifting occur and some of the financial chaos that's going to be coming to the earth. He says that many are going to believe that this is it. We can't recover from this, but it's not it. Mm-hmm. It's not it. We can recover. And in fact, that the church believers are going to be blessed in the midst of all of this. So I want to encourage you that, you know, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Make sure that you're standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. Make sure that you have a relationship with the Lord and that, of course, you're participating in God's economy because if not, you will be shaken out. And the other thing he shares, Steve, which he talks about the message of Enoch, which I thought was
that was powerful,
pretty remarkable in terms of joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about it, like what we were talking about during the break is that, you know, when he was talking to both Elijah and Enoch, when he turned to Elijah, he was so, you know, caught off guard. It's like, why aren't you as happy? You know, you've been in heaven all this time. And he says that we're setting where we are forever presently.
It's our capacity to love, our capacity.
Yeah. And it's like, and I think that was so powerful in that he lived in the darkest, most evil of times. But he did not get caught up in that. He stayed focused on the Lord, and every day he grew more and more closer and closer to God. And I just think that's so powerful because it's just like we're setting that precedent now for how we're going to be for eternity.
Right. Mm. And it's important and encouraging to know, too, that, I mean, even Elijah's experience was that, hey, listen, I should have been more joyful. Mm. I should have had. And the difference between the two of them, we can learn today and apply to our own life. You can stay focused on the negative. You can stay focused on the darkness, you know, and what, like you shared not too long ago, one of our programs is that, you know, whatever you behold, you're going to become. So if you continue to focus your attention and all your gaze and all of your prayers, all dark centered, then, you know, darkness is going to overcome you. But we're supposed to be drawn to the light. We're supposed to be drawn to Jesus. We're supposed to be soaking in his presence and experiencing his joy. One of the things that Ray talks about that he got in this prophetic experience is he found the key to eternal joy. And the key to eternal joy that was revealed to him was that we can do something every day intentionally. And many times we do, we just don't know. I guess intentionally doing it and being aware of our intention, that we're doing something to bring joy to the Father each and every day, that we can know that we're doing that, we can experience that. And he says, in that, when our aim and our goal is to bring joy to the Father, then we're going to receive of the joy of the Lord. And that many believers are going to be able to, you'll be able to tell who are those that follow God from those that don't, because the major identifier in their life is going to be joy in the midst of great trial, joy in the midst of darkness. And it makes me think about the Bible, when the Bible says that, you know, God will give you a peace that transcends understanding, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. And the word transcend means to rise above what you're experiencing. I mean, I don't know if you've been through a trial before where something horrible happened, maybe even a death, and you're saying, right now I should be devastated. I know that this is a really bad thing that just happened, but right now this overwhelming peace is upon my life, and I feel like it's going to be okay. We're going to make it. I feel kind of encouraged. And I think this is the sense in which he is communicating that you're not going to be joyful in the midst of somebody going through a horrific time, but you're going to experience a joy that it's not circumstantial, not to a place of pointless giddiness, if you will, but a place where you can experience the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, and it worked really well for you. You know, and the third thing that he talked about, which was the house of God accessing heaven. And I thought that was remarkable because, I mean, isn't that, you know, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Right. I mean, that's what we're praying. Mm-hmm. We're praying for the synchronization of heaven on earth. That's where we should be living in continually, a place of prayer, believing that, hey, may it happen here. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no illness. You know, we need heaven on earth.
Now, I think about it. I think it's in, I think it was Elijah when he was on one of the mountaintops and there was all the things coming against him and he had a servant and he was all stressed out and he says, Lord, show him. And he opened up his eyes and he saw the chariots of fire and angels ascending and descending. It's like when we're caught up in that heavenly perspective, that's how God designed us to be. We're seated in the heavenly realm.
We absolutely are. Listen, do not focus on the darkness, but focus on the King of Kings. Focus on the Lord. It's for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. Listen, set your joy as Jesus Christ today. He is the lifter of your soul. And my goodness, we can have trust in him. Trust him today and put your eyes upon him and watch God carry you every step of the way. There's nothing to fear for those who love their God and know him. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.